7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast, accompanied by my friend and spiritual brother, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, are you excited?
I'm very excited. You know, we've had some really lucky weather, so yeah. I'm excited. Little stall under the weather, but have enough energy for the Croc Nation and for you, my friend.
Excellent. We're going to continue and actually complete this module on listening. And I have to tell you, Angel, I've really enjoyed this. And just to give everybody a brief glimpse back, if you haven't heard any of the other two episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Was actually motivated or inspired by a patient's wife who came into the clinic and, you know, gave me some insight into some of us not listening to what she had to say, a very important information. And we were able to make a great turnaround and like sit down and stop and react to her comments and make a difference in a person's life, which I thought was great. And then I thought, well, you know, if this happened to me, I'm sure this happened a million times, and I'm sure it happens to everybody. So I thought, let's talk about listening in medicine. And that was the first one, listening to the family. Last week, we talked about listening to our nurses, who are a wonderful resource for the physicians as it relates to the care of our survivors/thrivers. And tonight, we're going to finish with a very important person we should listen to, and that would be the patient.
Excellent. It's always important to be the patient, and we all can relate to this because we all can be a patient.
Absolutely. Well, we all will become a patient. We may not be cancer patients, but we will be patients of some sort. And really, at the end of the day, does it really matter? We're all, you know, struggling on this human journey together, and we all have to endure illness, and especially the special circumstances related to our cancer survivor thrivers is why we have this podcast. So, Angel, when I was doing my research, or I guess my preparation for this week's podcast, you know, as far as, you know, doing a deep dive, finding some academic articles on why physicians don't listen to their patients, I really came across something very interesting. It's almost as if, you know, I was kind of digging around in Egypt and I just kind of took my pick and I hit a spot and the spot broke through and all of a sudden I'm in King Tut's tomb, right? So I came up with this really interesting new word. It's called, it was really a treasure. Really, I really say it was a hidden gem. And it's a new term, it's a new phenomenon, and it's called medical gaslighting. So I'm really excited to talk about it as it relates to listening to patients. Because what it does is it takes the subject of listening and really brings it to an entirely new and profoundly expanded level. And Angel, do you know, because gaslighting, the term gaslighting is a pretty common term just in general usage. Do you know where it came from?
I don't. I was thinking for a second you were going to put us for a loop because we make words here at the Croc Podcast, but this is an actual word.
This is a word. So let me ask you a question. If I use the word gaslighting, do you know what that means?
I do not. I've heard of it, but I honestly can tell you, I don't know.
So let me tell you what the word means, and then I'm going to go through where it comes from, and then we'll bring it back toward medical, you know, the use in medicine and as it relates to our survivor/thrivers. So were you ever in a situation with someone who, when you were talking to them and they were talking to you, you really didn't feel listened to? You didn't feel that they were taking you seriously. And then even goes to the next level, because this podcast module is about listening. And the next level is not only did they not make you feel like you were being heard, but they actually made you question your own self, question, you know, whether you were maybe losing your mind a little bit, or maybe you were just on the wrong track, or they were kind of like what you thought you wanted to say, they sort of responded in a way that made you question yourself. That I'm sure that's happened to you. It's happened to everybody.
Absolutely.
So in 1944, there was this amazing movie. I actually have seen it, and I would encourage you to watch it. It was called Gaslight. And it came from a play called of the same name and it starred some really heavy duty movie stars of the time. So you heard of Ingrid Bergman. She was the main character, Charles Boyer, and Joseph Cotten, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it tells the story of a very famous opera singer who was murdered. And her young niece was her protege. And after the murder, she went on to continue her education as an opera singer and sort of took her aunt's position, you know, in the opera world as, you know, one of the big divas or whatever you call them, the big singers of the time. And she became very famous and she fell in love with her pianist and they got married. And he encouraged her to set up shop and move to London in her aunt's old abandoned townhouse. And then what happens is during the body of the movie, a series of circumstances happen where she thinks she's losing her mind. Remember, this is set back in the 1800s, so they didn't have streetlights. They had gas lights, and she would look out the window, and the gas lights would flicker up and flicker down and flicker up and flicker down, and she would say, "Did you just see that?" And everyone would say, "No, we didn't see anything." If she had like a piece of jewelry or whatever in her pocketbook, and if her husband said, "Hey, listen, can you do me a favor? Get your brooch, or I'm going to take you out to dinner," and she went into her bag, the brooch wasn't there. She would hear noises in the attic, which no one else heard. And all of a sudden, you know, as the movie goes on, she starts losing her sanity. She starts unraveling until she finally has this sort of tantrum or this big, you know, scene at a dinner party, which was attended by a detective. Now, the detective happened to be a big fan of the opera singer, and he really sort of took pity, and things just didn't make sense to him, so he decided to have one of his policemen follow the husband, and they followed the husband into an adjoining townhome, and what they found out was the husband was actually doing all of these things to, you know, playing with the gas lights, making noises in the attic, hiding her jewelry, all those types of things that was making her question her sanity. And as it turns out, the twist of the movie, I don't mean to be what do they call those? You don't want to give, yeah, a spoiler alert here. So if anybody doesn't want to hear it, then turn us off for 20 seconds. He actually was the one who killed the aunt, trying to get all of her jewelry, which he wanted to find, he thought would be in the townhouse in London. That's why he made, you know, that's why he married her, brought her in, and then was going to commit her to an insane asylum and find her jewels and then live happily ever after with the housekeeper who was his lover. So as it turns out, he gets caught, she confronts him, and that's where the term gaslighting comes. So we use the term gaslighting. I actually, joke around with my wife and tell her she's gaslighting me all the time, making me feel that I'm slowly unraveling and losing my mind. So it's kind of a popular term. But what I didn't know was I didn't know what an impact it would have on this podcast, because I after doing all the reading on these papers, I thought to myself, you know, this is not just listening. This is taking listening to the nth power and really taking a deep dive into really what's going on with the physician and the patient in that very powerful relationship where the physician has a lot of power, has a lot of authority, is the one that's sort of controlling that interaction, and how that interaction could go bad if that physician misuses his power by not listening, right? And then by not listening, you have the patient feel like they're being dismissed or they're not being listened to. And we all know the story because it's happened. And as it relates to our cancer survivors, how many of them have told the story of, "I told my doctor a dozen times that I felt bloaty in the stomach, and he examined me and I begged him for a CAT scan and he wouldn't do it. And a year later, I went to another doctor and all of a sudden I have this big mass in my belly," or, "I told my doctor I didn't feel right. I had a sore throat," or, "I was seeing double," or, "I was hearing things." And They didn't listen to me. So that's gaslighting. But gaslighting and not listening even go a deeper level, Angel. It even goes deeper. So gaslighting in specifically refers to a person of power, like a physician, psychologically manipulating another person to question their own reality. So as we saw from the movie, and you now could sort of extrapolate that scene and definitely see it play out in a doctor's office. As I said, it's a new term, just gained traction really through social media. So through Instagram, and 2022, it was the Webster Word of the Year. The first published medical article about medical gaslighting appeared in the Journal of American Medical Association called JAMA in September of 2020, when it published the first article on medical gaslighting. And basically the bottom line is gaslighting is when a patient believes their symptoms are repeatedly being discounted. So they're not being heard. They're not being listened to. Then in October of 2020, there was a paper specifically about women's symptoms, women's GYN symptoms of pain and discomfort. And actually, the thing that, you know, again, the plot keeps getting thicker and thicker. Women were historically viewed, even by Hippocrates and all the generations of healers past Hippocrates, that women were biased against by their gender, that they had histrionic personalities, and this misogynist or woman hating or woman downgrading system, this paternalistic system, became a stereotype. And we actually have a term in medicine called the histrionic personality, which is like an overly dramatic personality or someone who acts out or whatever, really comes down to gender bias against women. And there, you know, to talk about these deeper implications of medical gaslighting / not listening is that is to expand the concept of doctors being too busy to listen. So we're too busy. We don't have that much time. Or feel that we know more than the patient. So why should we listen? Again, we managed a lot of these subjects back in the first podcast, why doctors don't listen in general. And then have a patient who is actually experiencing these symptoms, you know, to a global issue, centering around. And this is where it really explodes, Angel. Now we're not just talking about a doctor just not listening to a patient. We're talking about structural racism. We're talking about cultural and gender discrimination and biases toward women and the gay, lesbian, trans, and bisexual population, the GLTB population. And that results now in a bigger Megillah, which leads to decreased or diminished health equity, meaning that people of color, women, people who are gay or transgender or whatever, are being discriminated against, and their outcomes are less because of this inequity, because of this gaslighting that's going on in the medical field. And I just want to take a quick peek behind the curtains like we always do. So every patient, and I say this, I think we might have even done a podcast or maybe in one of our presentations that I did, Angel, we talked about, you know, how each patient is different and every person on earth is quirky, right? I'm quirky, you're quirky, or whatever. Some patients even go beyond that and have a bunch of neuroses. They're neurotic, they're overly dramatic, they're emotional. So we call these types histrionic, and that's where the term histrionic comes in. Then we have some patients who are actually psychotic or have significant mental illness. Then we have patients who have significant personality disorders or mental illnesses. And all of these subcategories, you know, may incorrectly lead the doctor to play off these symptoms as hysterical or, you know, or whatever. And they invalidate a patient's symptoms and they negate the legitimacy of these complaints. And that's where that healthcare inequity comes in. So, Angel, you could see me peeling down the layers that it's not just about the doctors not listening to the patient's family. It's not about the doctors just not listening, you know, to the nurses. It really now is a big power struggle. You know, this not listening is just the tip of the iceberg to something that's happening on a very deep psychological layer that we're not even really sure of. It's all just evolving. It's so exciting. I'm so glad to be able to bring this, you know, to our listeners' attention, because it's literally right on the vanguard of what's going on. And it's so interesting. And the other thing I wanted to say, you know, part B of what I was going to say, a peek behind the curtain, is that sometimes doctors, we get sort of a little hardened, because there are sometimes people that are demanding things that are inappropriate. So we have our drug seeking behaviors. We have our manipulative patients. We have our Munchausen patients who are looking for attention, even though they're not really sick, and they want to be tested and tested and tested and tested. There are patients who go into a doctor, and if they don't come out with an antibiotic, they're unhappy. They're going to feel that they're completely disenfranchised, even if they have a virus or the antibiotics not only would not help them, they would actually be harmful to the patient. Or someone who just wants illogical testing just because they want it. So, you know, there's a lot. So I don't want to demonize, you know, the doctors, but we definitely have a problem. We are using our power incorrectly in many instances. And of course, Angel, you know that we're going to have a solution at the end of this podcast. So just to kind of talk about a few anecdotes, you know, some of the reasons that we would kind of play off patient symptoms, we would say, you know, Miss Smith, you're under a lot of stress. You know, Miss Smith, you're really not eating well. Your nutrition is bad. It's causing you not to think right. Miss Smith, you're really not exercising. You're very obese. You know, you really don't know what you're talking about. Miss Smith, you have to trust me. I have a medical school education. You were a migrant farm worker who didn't finish the sixth grade. Or Miss Smith, you have documented mental illness, so you have to trust me and let me determine what's best for you. These are all things that would sort of make us take advantage of that position of power and not take what the patient says is as important. And there are ways to correct this, right? So even in a time of contraction, meaning that the time that we spend as physicians with patients is getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, I propose that by making a few corrections, even in this contracting time venue, we could still be better. We could still stop this medical gaslighting. Number one, listening skills. I had a guy in the room a couple of days ago who was mentally ill. You know, he was really, you know, fabricating things and really not really, you know, when we say, you know, living in a sandcastle in the sky, he was kind of out there. So what I did was I said, okay, I got to let this guy go. I got to let this guy talk. So I just settled in. I just stopped talking and I just let him go. You know, 20 minutes, not one thing he said made a bit of sense, but I let him have agency to let him know he was in a safe place and he was being listened to. Number two is that I didn't focus out. I focused on, even though he was talking crazy, I was right there. I was right with him. Number three, I was empathetic toward him. It wasn't like, hey, you crazy son of a bitch. It was like, I was right there with him and I felt badly because he was tormented inside. And he really felt so grateful that someone was listening to him and cared about him. Like he wanted to hug me at the end of the consult because like I was the first one who did this for him. So that was cool. And effective communication skills, which we're very poor at. And we saw last week, we have no training. Physicians have zero training in effective communication skills. So lastly, the patients that I told you before, Angel, that were marginalized. So the patients that were, you know, GLTB, women, P people of color, people who are mentally ill. These people need even extra attention in order to make up for their marginalized status. So this is kind of where we're going with all of this, this subject of medical gaslighting. There are also deeper implications of this gaslighting. There was a beautiful paper. Sarah Fraser is a primary care doctor, a family health doctor in Canada, and she presented an op-ed in the Canadian Family Physician in 2021, where she was even gaslighted by a specialist. So just say I'm a radiation oncologist. I'm a tertiary care specialist. Family medicine says, you know, hey, Ian Ellie, this lady has a breast cancer. Mrs. Smith, can you go see her? And I don't go see her, or I'm late, or I don't listen to what Dr. Fraser had to say. And when she questioned me, I'm like, well, Dr. Fraser, how long are you out of residency? What gives you the qualifications to question me? Like, instead of like being collegial or whatever, the specialist was gaslighting her, and she didn't know how to respond to it because she didn't really have the knowledge of what this actually was, like what was going on in this power dynamic. And she wrote this article, which was beautiful because she finally found, you know, the right words in order to put it together. So gaslighting is not just, you know, between the doctor and the patient. It could be between doctor and doctor, doctor and a patient's family, you know, doctor and staff. I mean, and it happens multiple times a day in probably everybody's practice. I'm hoping, Angel, that our survivor thrivers can take this information, and even you and me, we can use it in our day-to-day lives. And it's something to be avoided, not just on the receiving end, but also on the giving end. Like, we don't want to gaslight people. You know, you are an inspirational preacher. You go and you give sermons. That puts you in a position of power. That gives you an opportunity to misuse that power. I'm a physician. I'm in a position of power. That gives me an opportunity to take advantage of somebody and gaslight them. So we need to learn this stuff to make us better and also to prevent having someone do it to us. And then finally, my final word of advice is that there are a four-prong mechanism to try to prevent or stop medical gaslighting right in its track. First is to speak up. It will help. And if it doesn't help, then you're in the wrong office. You need to go back to one of our podcasts and change your doctor. Number two, bring somebody with you. So this way you have a witness who's taking notes and listening and making sure that it's not you, it's actually a gaslighting is happening, or your doctor's not listening to you or not taking you seriously. Number three, take your records, keep your records, take notes, be prepared for your visit. Going to a doctor isn't just the doctor getting prepared for you. You should be getting prepared for them. You should know about them. You should know about their credentials. You should know if they're good or not. You have personal experience with them. Do you have a family member or a friend who's gone to them? You see their health grades. You look at their reviews. And then you do research on what your problem is. So you're actually knowledgeable. You're your own advocate. I saw a woman yesterday, amazing advocate for herself. She knew everything. She didn't know as much as I did, but she was close. She knew everything except the medical side, but she knew about her breast cancer. She knew about her options. She knew about the side effects. She knew about everything. Be prepared. She had notes. She had a whole, you know, mishpuga of, you know, of papers. And I think if a doctor saw that and saw someone was intelligent and knew about what was going on, they're going to be much less inclined to just say, don't worry, sweetie, I got this. I'm the doctor. Don't worry about it. I think there will be much more respect given to that person who's prepared. And lastly, and a good way to end, Angel, is to be empowered with the knowledge of who you are. And who you are is the most amazing, courageous, brave, intelligent, worthy human being on earth. You are a cancer survivor, thriver, and you deserve more. Angel Santana, last words.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that last part, because that's exactly what I was thinking about starting with. And that is the, you know, we've heard a lot. We've heard a lot today. And it all started with the word listen. And one of the key things that we have to remember is that, you know, by listening, we have to remember our surroundings and our environment. How do we do that? By knowing what is within us, but who we are and how we present ourselves. So speaking up and listening to others, but more importantly, working together, that is the key fundamental. Because if you can work together and you can listen to one another, then one way or another, you will come up with a solution or some type of a guideline to get you to the path that you're writing for. It's all about listening. It's all about getting together.
It was a good module, right? I think that this really took it to a really different and deeper level. And I was really, again, sometimes, you know, I get really surprised when I do my preparations. And today was one of those moments where I even learned something that's going to really help me in my day-to-day practice. And what I said, Angel, to our survivors is really true. I mean, these are some very special people who have a really hard path and a hard journey in front of them or behind them. You know, cancer is not an easy diagnosis. It's not an easy disease, and it's not an easy path. And you've been given some really difficult, challenging treatments and side effects from those treatments. And here you are, you come out the other side, and you still end up going to a doctor's office and not being listened to, not feeling that you're being taken seriously. Maybe you're even one of those survivors/thrivers who was misdiagnosed because your doctor did not listen to you and they gaslighted you. And if that's the case, it is our hope that today's podcast was of use to you. And I always want to let you guys know how worthy, loved, beautiful, experienced, gritty, tough, resilient, funny, worthy, I'll use that word twice, of what a special person you are, because if you weren't, we wouldn't be spending this time bringing these podcasts to your attention. Angel, on behalf of myself and the board of directors, I just want to say thank you to you guys for all of your advocacy for our survivors. I want to thank Michael John Benzea and Charlotte Larson for their support of us. And of course, I want to just always end our podcast by giving a blessing to our survivors/thrivers by telling them that on behalf of Angel and myself, we wish you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God be with you. God bless you. Peace.